Blog Talk Radio.
Deliverance.com here on blogtalkradio.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. on the Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. But if you're listening to us on any other social media platforms during any other times of the week, please contact us here at livedeliverance.com and give us the times, the dates, and the locations of platforms that you're listening to. Although we would love to proliferate the airways, we must do it legally, ethically, and in righteousness. If you hear our content through any other means, it is probably the result of piracy and copyright infringement. And all those who participate in Internet piracy can be persecuted by federal agents. So having said all that, I can now get down to the kingdom business. So go ahead and get a pen and some paper, and if you have any comments or questions about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer as we sanctify this time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, we want to get to part three of how big is your God? And I found that the answer to that question is the answer to everything in your life. God, who's a big God, makes room for you. He knows that you've never been where you are right now, and so he invites you into the place of his glory, the place of his abiding. You know, that's good to know, that I don't have to be the one that is manipulating my circumstances. I can simply allow him to speak to me in the thing that I'm facing. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us that we're supposed to simply acknowledge him in all of our ways, and then he shall direct our paths. He'll give us the steps, the way out, if you would. So he's not mad. Please know this. God is not mad or frustrated or even caught off guard because you find yourself in a place that you don't like. Amen. See, that's one of the things that the enemy uses to mess us up. There are three voices I want you to be aware of that will continually bombard the rest of your life. That is the voice of the Lord, the voice of the devil, and your own human spirit. Amen. See, you'll do things that causes you to end up in a place you don't like to be, and then in that place, you'll begin to talk yourself out of the programmed, preordained victory that God has ordained for you. The book of James chapter 1 tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, if you don't know something, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and he's not going to get mad because you asked him. See? So then you need to appropriate that promise in your life. When you're in a position that causes you to question or wonder, don't continue to go through the wondering. Stop the wondering with an answer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Call unto me, and I will answer. I left that part out. He said, call unto me, and I will answer. And in my answer, I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So then why would he be mad if he told you to ask? Why would he be mad if he told you to call unto him and then make a promise that I will answer? And in my answer, show you not just good things. That would be okay, I guess. But he said he would show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. See, so the question is, really, how big is your God? Do you think you can put yourself in the position where God cannot deliver, that his hand is too short? See, that you can't find that place. Because this is what he promises. Again, I'm just giving you promises that you should look at and apply to your life. Find out, how does God expect me to work from this situation? See? Because he says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He said, first of all, you can't find nothing that's not common to man. You are not going through anything that is exclusive to you. Okay? He said it has to be, first of all, common to man. As it's common to man, that would probably have the understanding that man has been in this situation before, and God has given him whatever was necessary to get out of it then. It didn't say God will be faithful. It said God is faithful. Okay? And he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. I love that because it doesn't mean that I'm going to go through more than I can stand. I'm going to go through what everybody else went through. No, he said he will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able to stand. This is how much he loves you. The question becomes, again, how big is your God? He makes room for you. Amen. He calls you unto himself. Jesus said it this way, that where I am, you may be also. He calls you into those places where his bigness can be displayed. His greatness can be displayed. You know, I'm facing some things, and I'm corralling my thinking around the promise that he made to Abram. Okay? Turn over to Genesis. This was not originally on the study, but you can see it when we get there. You'll understand that these promises that he made to Abram are the same exact promises that he made to me. Okay, watch it. You can see it. You'll understand what I'm saying. Chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. I mean, you don't have to stay in Lodabar. You don't have to stay in the place of confusion, the place of frustration. He didn't create you for that. He will deliver you from that, but he didn't create you for that. Okay? He wants you to appropriate the promise and cause those promises to become active in your life, to every situation in your life. No temptation taking you. Okay? Let's look at what he told Abram. Verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He says, Abram, okay, we'll hear Jesus say it another way. He says, if you're heavy laden and you have burdens, he says, come unto me. Yeah, he's saying it over and over and over again. He say, I know you're frustrated. I know you're disgusted. I know you feel like you messed up past every conceivable escape plan, but you come here, please. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30. He says, take my yoke and learn of me. You know, it really does no good for me to continue to rehearse my problem if he's standing there with the answer. Again, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you. See? So he's saying, I want to show you things. I want to tell you things. And the things that I'm going to tell you, they're going to probably appear strange to your hearing because you've been trained to rehearse the problem over and over again. See? He said, call unto me, and then I'm going to do the talking. I will answer thee. I don't know why we begin to the process of prayer and then think we're the ones with the answers and instructions. We call, we ask, he gives. See, we sometimes get things out of order and we do it so quickly and so easily. See, because we have done what he said don't do. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You do know that every fall is predicated on a lean. That's the first part of the fall. It's a lean. So he says, what I need for you to do is to not lean to your own understanding. We'll try to get back to Philippians chapter 4. That's where we kind of ended last time. See, so he's trying to open up our understanding, open up our thinking. Beloved, let me help you out. You are not now and will never be the problem that the devil tries to make you think you are. Jesus said that the devil is a liar from the beginning. He said it, so make it even clearer, when he speaks, Jesus said. He says, when he speaks. So every time the devil opening his mouth, whenever the devil talking, please know that he's speaking a lie. When he speaks of his own, for he is a liar from the beginning, a liar and the father of lies. Okay, so that you get it and understand, he's trying to give you an illegal baby, and the baby will be a lie. From the very beginning, this is what he did. He asked Adam and Eve, hath God said? When they already knew exactly what God said. See, he starts it out from the premise of a lie. God didn't say that. God wouldn't say that. He knows that in the day you eat thereof, you'll be like him. Excuse me, they were already made in the image of God, after his likeness. There was nothing missing, nothing broken. But here comes the liar and says, hath God said? He knows that when you eat of this tree, you'll be like him. You'll know, and it's so evident. He said, you'll know good and evil. Excuse me, they were living in the perfect. They were living in the good. Why would I even trouble myself with the evil? Just as a, when I get there, I'm going to ask him about that. How did you fall for that one? Not that I fall for, that it took more than that to make me do a stupid thing. Because he can't do anything else. There is nothing new under the sun. He doesn't have a new revelation. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm not under the sun. I'm in the S-O-N. I'm in the sun. There's an abundance of newness that comes from the sun. I don't have to live under or below my benefits that have already been promised to me, because God is inviting me into the place where he is. How big is your God? See? Yes, we can see that things in the earth are getting more and more interesting. Okay, I'm going to say that, and then I'm just going to follow that up with, and since things are getting more interesting, would you please get more interested in your God? Amen. It doesn't bother me that the price of gas in Atlanta has gone almost up to $5. I don't serve a $5 God. It doesn't matter what the cost of anything is, because my God supplies all. Amen. See, I don't have to participate in the lie. See, he's made me to sit together in heavenly places far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Lack is a name, and I've been made to sit far above it. Amen. See? So I am causing my thought process to continue to let him fill it up. That's what I pray almost every time. See? That the big God that I have would cause me to know how to allow him to show up. Because when he shows up, it's in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says the eyes of the Lord are running over the whole earth, run to and fro all over the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature heart towards him, a perfect heart towards him. I don't have time to question whether or not my God has forgotten me. That's not a mature heart towards him. That's a heart that's leaning away from him. And even if, bless my, woo, thank you, sir, even if I lean that way, which is not good, but then what should bring me back is the promise that says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Amen. Even though I left in my thought process, in my heart, in my spirit, in my understanding, even though I left, he said, this is the promise I have towards you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, you will boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's the response that's already programmed in my heart. See, it's already programmed. So then I just go and remind myself, allow the Holy Spirit. I'll go one better because the five steps of the Holy Spirit's job description, one of them is to bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said to you. Hallelujah. He brings to my remembrance what Jesus said to me. And Jesus is always, he always causes me to triumph. He gives me the victory. See, he's calling me into that place that I might not know about how to function in. Because my God, who is my big God, is inviting me into a wealthy place, into a prosperous place. Amen. See, this is what he told Abram. He'd say, don't stay where you are, Abram. Wow. Abram, your destiny is not located where you are now. Come on, now, do you hear him saying that to you? Your destiny is not located where you are now. Get thee out of thy country. You're going to have to leave the familiar to enjoy the exquisite. The extraordinary. You're going to have to leave the familiar. Amen. See? And when you leave the, come on, y'all, hear it again. When you depart from the familiar, he doesn't leave you. Now he strengthens you so that you can enjoy. He's giving you all things richly to enjoy. So then, as you're moving to the next place, the place of your destiny, learn to enjoy it. Come on. It's the Father's good pleasure, Matthew chapter 12. So he said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. See? So then as you begin to process the information from there, there's nothing the devil can do to stop you because God's calling you into your destiny. Your destiny is not located where you are right now. If that were the case, then he would have said to Abraham, stay where you are, Abe. But he said, Abraham, get out of the place of the familiar and from the people that you are accustomed to talking to, out of your kindred. Out of yesterday's provision, I appreciate my father, my earthly father. But all my earthly father could do would give me the provision for that day. That day has passed. Amen. Amen. For all of us, that day that our earthly father prepared us for has already passed. Your destiny is not found in the location where you are. Your destiny is found in the place of your calling. Get out of your father's house and go into a land that I will show you. Glory to God. He said that I will show you. So that tells me something else. That even though I am found in that place, that's not the end of my destiny. It's going to open up more and more. Because he says, I'm going to out into a land that I will. Perfect present tense. Is that correct? Not that I will once show you. He said that I will show you. So whatever you knew today, which is good in the Lord, that's not the end of your destiny, because he still has an active promise to show it to you yet. I will show you. And listen at this. This is the part that as I'm, again, working myself out of whatever the challenge that I'm facing, he says, and when you do that, when this is the way you think, I will make of thee a great nation. Who's the one doing the making? God said he would do that. Amen. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Wow. See, as we think from this perspective, there's no way the devil can stop us. Because as the promise is active, he said he will make. He has the ability to work with a thing until that thing is perfected. That's what he did when he made Adam. He saw Adam, and he said about Adam and Eve that that was very good. Yeah. That's the thought process that he has for your destiny, that he has for your life. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. You know that the blessings of the Lord, first of all, he said he maketh rich and adds no sorrow. But he said also that the blessings of the Lord are going to come up on me and overtake me, that he daily loads me down with benefits. Amen. My day, according to my promise that I have from my God, my big God that's inviting me into the big that he lives in. My big God is inviting me to the place where the blessing is not only going to come up on me and overtake me, it's going to load me down with benefits. Glory to God. I don't have a stingy God. Load me down with benefits day after day. Because now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could dare ask or think, according to the power that's alive, that's working on the inside of me. I don't have time to be frustrated. I cannot stop the power that's working on the inside of me if I'm going to see what that power can produce. Now unto him, I will make thy name great. I will bless thee. And then he says, not only that, come on, y'all. He says that you can tell I'm involved with this thing because I'm going to make you a blessing. Glory to God. I'm going to show you how to sow. I'm going to show you how to change atmospheres when you simply walk into the room, because I'm going to make your name great. I will bless you, and then you will be a blessing. It didn't say you will have one. I'm just looking at the scripture. How big is your God? And thou shalt be a blessing. Again, that is perfect present tense. Didn't say, and you will be known that there was one blessing in you. That's not what he said. You shall be a blessing. I see him today, and he's a blessing. I see him tomorrow, and he's a blessing. He shall be a blessing. Glory to God. I have more than enough. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. It would have been all right if he would have said that you'll have that life and a little bit more. He said you'll have that life, and that life will be more abundant. Amen. This is where you've been called into. This is where your destiny springs forth and allows people to see all that God wanted to do in you and with you, through you. Okay? And then this blessing is so awesome, he says, that I'll bless them that bless you, them that curse you, and in thee shall all the care of me, my family, didn't it? He made the promise to Abraham. I appropriate that promise that was made to Abraham in my life because in him, all that just got me. See? So then because I activate the promise that was available through eternity, see, I'm not just trying to, I don't know where we got it from. Bless us for and no more. I don't know where we got it from. From Jump Street, on God's mind, in his heart, he was trying to get everybody blessed. From Jump Street, in you, Abe, shall all, maybe, I don't know, you might have jumped over that word because it was a small word. I found that the small words are the words that I have to pay attention to, because in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. See, so I don't know why we detach from the promise maker, detach from the promise keeper, and then lived in a limited supply. Bless us for and no more. Come on, y'all. God was interested in all. He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein. Again, his mind was on all, wasn't it? Okay? So here I am trying to eke out a blessing, and God has invited me into blessing. He will make me a blessing. Glory to God. His blessing that comes upon me and overtakes me was intended for others. You know, in the 23rd Psalms, that's the one where he says, my cup runs over. We all know that. And so then my dad told me this first. He said, God has caused me to be so blessed, I'm not even worried about my cup. I'm living off the salsa because my cup keeps running over and the salsa keeps catching it. See? I don't know how big my cup is, but I will tell you what's happening with my cup. My cup is overflowing. And as big as my cup is, by necessity, my saucer has to be bigger than my cup. Not deeper than my cup, bigger than my cup. So that which flows over out the top of my cup can be contained or caught in the saucer. Amen. I'm living in overflow. I'm thinking about overflow because my God, who is a big God, is causing me to walk out victory by victory. He is El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the God that's more than enough. Jehovah Jireh. See? I mean, how big is your God? That is a question that you're going to have to resolve in your spirit. See? As we enter into situations and circumstances that cause people to live in doubts and worries, and we need to show them, no. Let me invite you into the same room that he put me in. He's put me in the place of more than enough. And I'm wanting to know him, to learn about him from that perspective. Yeah, I've seen some of the teachings that people have released saying they were talking from God's perspective. And then they brought me to bondage. They brought me to lack. Well, according to the scripture, when he says, in thee shall all the nations... He didn't even say, shall all the nation. The plurality of nations means that it was already an infinite problem. It was already an infinite promise. It was already that. See? I just get to put on that robe of righteousness, that robe of thinking correctly. I just get to be clothed in that humility. That my God did not want me to be going through worry, anxieties, and fears. He's the one that said his word will deliver me out of all my fears and my frustrations, all of my destruction. His word will deliver me out of all. See? So then I need to engage him at the level that he, okay, wow, wow. I need to engage him at the level he met me. Don't we say that my God shall meet or supply all my needs? Amen. He met me at the point of need and supplied that need. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. See? That's what we want to deal with. Okay? Chapter 4. And as we again wrap our heart in these scriptures, wrap our heart up with these scriptures. He's gonna even say it. Let him do it. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. I don't hear the first opportunity for fear, worry, anxiety, lack. I just don't hear it. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. If you, for some reason, get tired of the process of rejoicing, I'm going to tell you again, go back to page 1. And he says that as you are continually reading, it's interesting. The word re means to do over. And he just told you to do over a do over. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So he wants us to live in a perpetual state of do-over. Sing with the Staple Singers. Let's do it again. See? Let your moderation be known unto all men, because the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what will happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, he knows that there were going to be things that you said, thought about, and say, I didn't understand. God says, if I can get you to practice the do-over, rejoice and continue to rejoice. And in your rejoicing, let your moderation be known. He didn't say one time there to let your frustration be known. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men, because you have a promise. The Lord is here. That's why you didn't see Jesus frustrated and worried about stuff. Jesus would say stuff like, Father, I know that you hear me because you always hear me. I thank you that you hear because you will never leave me. See, he lived this. He practiced this over and over and over. David asked the question that said, where can I go that God ain't? If I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I make my bed in heaven, he's there. See? David says, so since I know this, I function from that position. I'm letting all men know that the Lord is here. Oh, I might not know how he's going to do what he's going to do, But his promise has already been given, and he's going to execute that. He will not let his word come back to him, return to him void. His word is going to prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. It's going to accomplish that which he pleases. The Lord is at hand. When I function from that position, he says, now the peace of God, which is able to go beyond what you understand. I don't care what you understand. The peace of God that comes out of rejoicing and rejoicing, that comes out of the do-over. It says, this peace goes beyond all of your understanding. And it will keep your hearts and your minds. Glory to God. It would be nice, amen, if it just kept my heart. It would be nice, amen, if it just kept my mind. But he said that when I live the do-over, when I expect the do-over because the Lord is at hand, when my conversations are not conversations that are careful, but they are conversations of thanksgiving and supplication, then that peace that God gives me passes my understanding, laps around my understanding, goes out in front of me. Come on, y'all. It passes my understanding. It's now in front of me. You see that? That places that I haven't yet got to, that I haven't yet understood. It's okay. The peace of God goes where I can't understand. See? It goes where I am invited into, and then causes me to be able to see it as it stands up waving at me, saying, here I am. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen. And then I can get to my finally. I can get to my deliverance. This is basically where we stopped last time. See? I can get to my finally, because he says, my finally comes when I do this, when I think on those things that are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, I think on these things. When I do that, I just now activate my finally. We think that we're waiting on God, and God is waiting on us. God is on the other side of the finally. And on the other side of the finally, you will find this waiting on you, your and suddenly. Glory to God. So he's inviting you into finally. Let's get it done now. Because you no longer had to be stalled by simply your understanding. Because the peace of God, which goes further than that, encourages, strengthens your heart, strengthens your mind. Okay? That I'm allowing Christ to be enough for me. Amen. I'm going to allow those words that say it is finished to be I allow the words where it is finished to be my starting point. Amen. I'm not trying to get God to do something. I'm starting with it is finished. Amen. See, I start on the other side of my understanding. My understanding is back here, but the peace of God is already in front of me. Did he not tell us to follow peace, as I follow peace, I have the connotation and understanding that it is in front of me. Amen. Ooh, wow. That would be good and necessary because now my steps are not steps of intrepidation. I'm not walking in fear. I'm walking on the other side of finally. I'm walking into my and suddenly. Glory to God. See? Finally. I've been hearing this over and over, but now I get to enter into my finally. And I get to live there. I get to sojourn there. Because now I can arrest my minds and my thoughts that were trying to cause me to move. I can now just think on those things that are true, if they are honest, if they are just, if they are pure, if they are lovely, if they have any good report, if they have any virtue, if they have any praise. He says that when you do this, now there's some things that's going to happen. The things that you both learned and received and heard and seen in me. He gives you four opportunities to enter into this peace. He said the things that you've learned about me, the things that you believed and received about me, the things you heard about me, the things that you've seen me do. And when you do that, when you believe the testimony, because the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you believe that just because Jesus did it, I can also do it. Because he lives, I live also. As he is, so am I in this world. See? I'm able to take that peace that came from what I learned, what I received, what I heard, and what I saw that was active in Paul's life, that was active in Jesus' life. I shall then do those things, follow those steps. And now, listen at this, the wording changes. In verse 7, he says that the peace of God, which passes my understanding, would keep my heart and my mind. But now he says that the God of peace will be with me. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. It's going to move, activate, and become bigger than just the peace of God. That's good. But as I continue to walk in this, receive this, learn about this, see, now the God of peace shall be with you. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 is the verse that I'm going to. But let's pick it up. In verse 19, he says that the things that we have to do is my obedience is supposed to speak. Okay? My obedience is come abroad unto all men. And I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. He says, I want you to be what? I want you to be wise unto that which is good, unto that which is simple concerning evil. I want you to know things because the devil's going to try to mess you up, cause you to go, walk by a lie, walk into a lie so you can live in the lie. I want you to be wise about that. Okay? And he says that now that you are obedient, that you're displaying the wisdom that's necessary for your victory. He says now the God of peace is going to do something, shall bruise Satan under your heels shortly. See, we went away, we grew up from just having the peace of God that was around us, if you would, that was in front of us. Now we are going to actively live in that peace. And as you live in that peace, now the God of that peace shall bruise Satan under your heels shortly. He put the time on it. I didn't. Trouble don't last always. It can't last always because the peace that I am now living in, the God of that peace is going to become active in my life, and he's going to bruise Satan under my heel shortly. Amen. It went from a communal experience to a personal execution. You go to church and you hear nice worship and praise, and so then you have this peace that passes your understanding, and this peace arrests your heart and your mind and keeps your heart and mind on stayed on him, because he said he would keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. But he's going to go from that exchange, that experience, to now giving you an expectation. It's good to have the experience of worship and praise and the experience that comes along with what we've referred to as goosebumps. It's good to have that experience, but now I'm going to go into the place of expectation. Because the peace of God shall be with me, and because the peace of God is with me, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under my heels shortly. Okay, under my feet shortly. Okay, look at what just happened here. I am now positioned above my problem. Amen. In verse 7, he said that the peace of God will keep my heart and my mind. And that's good, because he's going to take me beyond my understanding. But if I continue to walk in this, live in this, understand I was called to this, now it becomes not an experience but an expectation. The God of peace is going to be with me, and the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under my feet. I ain't got to fight with him. Come on, y'all, just understand. I don't even have to fight with him intellectually anymore. He is now under my feet. All of my enemies should be under my feet. That was the promise that God made to Adam and the devil. He says, now, talk to the woman. You say, yeah, you're going to give birth to the seed, and that seed is going to bruise the devil's head. The enemy has no more authority than to bruise your heel. I hope you got that. He's going to be under your feet. You bruise his head, you bruise the place of his thoughts. Amen. And the best he can do is to bruise the place where you were standing. I said were standing. Glory to God. See? The best he can do, the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under your heel, under your feet, shortly. That becomes your next step out of whatever the challenge was. While you're walking on his head, on his place of thoughts. That's why it says stuff like the thing that he imagined to do, he can't do it. He can't do what he thought he was going to be able to do. Why? Because you're going to walk over the place of his thinking. Amen. He thinks this is going to stop you. No, it won't. You will bruise his head. God will cause him to be under your feet in operative state. His thinking is going to be jacked up because you're going to step on his thinking. You step on his intentions for you. You walk all over that. How big is your God? That becomes the question. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at the last, your care of me flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You didn't see how to do it. He says, I'm glad that God is going to cause his presence to be so prevalent in your life that you will be able to take advantage of every opportunity. You are unstoppable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. This is where he's called us to. See? He knows that because he's a big God and he's invited you into the big where he is, he knows you didn't know how to do that. But because you have found a way to get to the finally, then your end suddenly is now going to be made manifest. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things of a good report, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any praise, any virtue, think on those things, and then as you do that, you know you learned it, you received it, you heard it, you've seen it, and you're doing it. Now, the God of peace. I don't want to just say steps because we want to do 1, 2, 3. I say steps because these are your ordained progression. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But you didn't see how to do it. You looked at the challenge and didn't see the opportunity. Come on, y'all. I want you to know that as you are thinking on the things that are pure, as you are allowing the peace of God to pass your understanding, as you do this, then what will happen is you will stop looking at things from a perspective of I can't do that, because he's giving you the ability. You no longer lack opportunity. You're no longer waiting on God to do what he's giving you permission to do. Amen. Because you're rejoicing. See, you're setting the state of your spirit in an elevated position, and you're hearing elevated executions from that elevated position. You then simply walk into the place of your calling. Because he who has begun a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. You begin to, at the entrance of the word that gives light and gives understanding, you begin to see that he called you for this victory, that he ordained you for this opportunity of victory. You begin to see that all things are for your good. See? You begin to approach God from that perspective. You no longer have to think about approaching him as a beggar. No, I'm approaching him as a king, as the son of a king, as one that is destined to rule, because he promised he would make my name great. See? That's what he promised, that he would bless me and I will be a blessing. Verse 11, not that I speak a respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer loss. I want you to hear that there was two sides to this. That I know and I've learned how to do these things. I've been instructed in these things. I've been instructed in how to be full. I was hungry, but then I started listening at the information and I got the instruction that I'm supposed to be full. I've got the instruction of how to abound. I was suffering need, but I was taught. See? That's something that he wrote there for us. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. In all things, I am instructed both. Why did we throw the other away? He said he was instructed both. He's speaking to you where you were and giving you instructions to where you should be. And then he encourages you after the instruction has already been, after the instruction of illumination has already come to you, he says, now, verse 13, I can do some things. I can do the things through Christ which strengthens me. When I was hungry, God's going to give me what I need to be strengthened through Christ. And he's going to give me the ability by that strength to do some things. I'm no longer going to be one that just thinks that maybe one day it's going to get better. No, he says, verse 13 says, I'm supposed to be able to do some things. Receive the strength and get to doing. How big is your God that has invited you into the big where he is and wants you to display his greatness? Okay? But we've been those that have majored in lack rather than majored in abundance. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I even like that he put full first, abound first, so that we won't stay there or limit God because of the place. Your destiny is not located where you are. See? Notwithstanding, you've done well that you did communicate to my affliction. And he was saying, okay, when Paul was writing this, he was writing it to a church that had the same thinking that we had. I don't have nothing to give. I can't sow. And he was getting them to see that, no, what you need to do is receive the strength from Christ, and then you'll have opportunity. See? People have asked you to participate in this giving opportunity, and you say, well, I ain't got it today. Well, see, you missed it. You didn't hear the instructions of how to abound. Now, 15, you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, that when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. This was an ongoing conversation. He was teaching them, teaching us, that there is a flow to God. He calls you into the place where you've never been before. And then as you give, he says, there shall also be reciprocity. He's talking to them to show us the same thing, that in God there is a way to receive the strength from Christ that says you should do things, that I no longer just think about things. I am now actively participating in the doing of it. Then in verse 17, he's letting them know, this ain't because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. If you don't get involved, then my desire cannot be executed because you kept missing the opportunity. But I have all and abound. I am full, receiving of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And he said those things were a odor of a sweet smell, and a sacrifice acceptable well-pleasing to God. Notice this. It was an odor you're giving. Your giving is a odor and sweet smell of sacrifice that's pleasing to God. It was not about the money at all. Money doesn't make it to heaven. That's one of the things that the apostles learned. He told Peter and told him, silver and gold, I ain't got none, but what I do got. See? There was no exchange because of the money. The change that you're looking for came because of a sweet smell and a sacrifice that's acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then because of that, now my God shall supply all your need according to the richness of this aroma, the richness of this sacrifice. It wasn't because there was a transfer of money. There was a transfer of strength and a transfer of doing. God gets things done through obedient spirits. Amen. See? And because God can identify with the position of heart that you have by giving, not that I desire a gift, but that fruit. Come on, did you get that? He said, I'm not looking for the substance that you are releasing. I'm trying to release fruit into your account. Fruit that will do what? That will abound. Ooh, glory to God. I'm hoping that you're hearing this. See? He wants us to get to the place where the word of God moves us. It becomes our motivation. It becomes our motion. This is not a cute scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, this scripture was woven into Paul's life. And he took the time to give it to us here a little, there a little, weaving it into our lives. It became his motion and his motivation. I can do things. I'm looking for opportunities now. Whereas before, I was not looking for an opportunity. I was not listening to the Spirit of God in the opportunity. See? He was looking at God's response to what just happened. Okay? I want you to get that. He was looking at God's response. It was an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See? He was not looking at the bank accounts, the exchange of money that came from bank account to bank account. I can actually transfer money being mad. Okay. Well, we'll just say that. there are a lot of times that we pay our bills not happy. Amen. See? So then the transfer of money was not the thing that God was looking at. We decided, purposed in our heart, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So God's looking for that fragrance, that sacrifice that is acceptable to him. That whatever I do in word or deed, I'm doing all in the name of Jesus to give glory to him by that name. God's looking that way. But here I am. I'm just writing and offering the same way I paid my bill. I'm not happy when I have to pay that bill. Why do you think he says stuff to us that's a little bit strange to the hearer? It says that count it all joy when you, See, I'm not counting it joy paying this bill. Mad about it. Was mad about it last month, mad about it this month. So then there was no exchange in the spirit. See, when I do things, if things are assessed by the spirit, they then bring life. Amen. I'm giving God an opportunity to open up pathways before me that I have not seen before because I am doing what honors him. God doesn't take pleasures in thieves. People that say they're going to do something and don't do it, he called them fools in Ecclesiastes. They say they're going to give to the Lord and they don't do it. And no, he has no pleasure in that. Well, I didn't see how. We understand the challenge because you're looking at things from the wrong perspective. See, if I access things by the Spirit, that which I access by the Spirit gives life. And they supply the natural things that are done by the flesh for the flesh. But if they're done in the flesh, by the flesh only, and have no spiritual connection, they remain dead and they remain in the flesh. You remember Jesus when he told the men to sit down and he fed the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children? He gave thanks and worshiped God with that. Amen. And then because he did, they were able to take up more than they started with because the exchange from earth to heaven, from Jesus to the Father, had been done. He taught us that. He trained us in that. He said, let's get some order here first. Have the men to sit down. And then he took what he had, the two fishes and the five loaves of bread, and he gave thanks. That exchange opened up supernatural miracle. Abundance started to flow. So that as they fed the 5,000 men, looks like the number is somewhere over 20,000 because the men had wives, the wives had children. 5,000 men. In an era of time where it was not good not to be fruitful and have children. It was understood that the man was supposed to have his quiver full of them. One child was probably not the norm back then. So 20,000 people eating off of the two-piece fish dinner. And then at the end, they took up 12 baskets full. It did not delineate if it was 12 baskets of fish only, 12 baskets of bread only. It was 12 baskets full. Let's open. The seed of that miracle. The disciples took with them and put it in the boat. Yeah. So then he just took care of their tomorrow. Ooh, wait a minute, y'all. He just took care of more of their tomorrow, though. But he just took care of the next meals. Because as they gave thanks for what they received then, that same process just starts over again. Amen. Amen. If we would learn these things, grasp these things, then we enter into the overflow, the abundance that's necessary for our lives. See, because we've no longer allowed our hearts to be corralled by lack. See? We allow the peace of God to go past our understanding. We begin to think that my God shall supply. As my God supplies all, that has to take me further than whatever I'm facing today. Is that correct? Because all is not inclusive for the things of the day. It has to be more than that. It's not limited to the things of today. Otherwise, it would not be all. It could be most if you wanted to go there. But that's not the promise. The promise was not that my God should supply most of my needs. The promise was that my God shall supply all. So this perpetual promise now continues to flow in my life. I continue to give, and it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men, not a man, shall men give unto my bosom. I'm looking for that every day because I'm continuing to give. See? I'm not living by patting myself on the back for what I did yesterday. What I did yesterday in obedience is going to be displayed in my destiny. I'm looking for that. According to the scripture, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall multiplied men give unto your bosom. How big is your God? In the time where you're looking at things that are telling you not to sow, the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes again. It says that you can't just look and see if this one's going to be, think that this one's going to be profitable or that one. He says, no, give to seven, yea, even to eight. But you lacked opportunity. Why? Because your understanding was not activated. You were still living off of memory recall and what others had said. Well, I remember so-and-so gave, and then they couldn't. No. See, you didn't activate anything in the spirit. Because if you activate in the spirit, then the spirit, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. That process never stops, everlasting. See? So we've got to allow God to expand our heart so that the big God can live in a heart that has been expanded. Amen. How big is your God? Will you continue to frustrate the grace of God by holding on, causing your hands to be clenched, holding on to that which you think you have? When your destiny has asked you to participate in eternity starting today, when does eternity start? It has to include my today or it's not eternity. See? We've got to allow his greatness to be understood in our heart, lived out in our heart, so that other people will see the good works that the Father's doing. They will ask questions. How is it that you are not subject to the same things I was subject to before? Because I allowed my God to be God. I allowed my God to strengthen me, that I can do things. See? God is not willing to do without a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you will always, in every circumstance, have more than enough to supply every good work and charitable donation. He's trying to open up our heart so that he can live big in our lives. God makes promise based on his provision. God makes, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He makes promise based on his provisions. We think based on our perception. See? If our sight is clouded, then our outcome also has to be cloudy. Amen. I mean, we used to say stuff like saving up for a rainy day. Why do you think the day has to have rain? Why could it not be sunshine and joy? Why does it have to be doom and gloom? Saving up for a rainy day. In that regard, you can look for the rain to come in your life. Amen. See? when we could just say, you know what, the same God that, as David did, the same God that delivered me out of the hand of the lion and the bear, that same God is going to deliver you in my. Go from there. He's going to supply all. That includes all from now on. You know, I think about it all the time, the widow that gave the two mites and that Jesus made reference to her giving. And he said about her, he says, she's going to leave here today blessed more than all of y'all. I don't see another instance in the Bible where that widow woman was down to her last again. Amen. She gave, and the response from heaven was, we're going to bless her. Not we're going to bless her one time. Because God doesn't do one-time blessings. Amen. Amen. That might be all we can understand for that day. I get that. But he's trying to have, I'm going to bless you, and you shall be a blessing. He's interested in the blessing of the Lord being seen and made evident in the earth. He's looking for that. He's looking for that opportunity so that we can just grow up in that place where our expectation is going to be allowed to be fulfilled so that his expectation can be executed in the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He wants to do big things in those that allow their heart to be expanded so that the big God can show up in a mighty way. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. Will you continue to hold your substance tight and not let God breathe on it and allow it to flow? Or will you be a cheerful giver, the one that God is looking for, not willing to do without? Your way or God's way? Father, again, we just bless you and we thank you that you know no limits and no restraints. You're able to deliver by no limits or no restraints, many or by few. Thank you, Father, that because of that, we simply align our hearts with a big God that has invited us into his bigness so that he can display his goodness in the earth. Help us to grow up in that, Father, so that we will be able to cause you to smile by our obedience, that we can receive strength from you and be the doer that's needed in the earth today. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, as I said in the beginning, we'll give you opportunities if you have any questions or comments about the ministry today. We'll give you opportunity to just share those. So area code 336-575-0206. Area code 336-575-0206. You have the mic. Go ahead. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight?
Well, praise the Lord, Brother Steve. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor. I just tuned in tonight just to listen to the broadcast, and I was really blessed by your teaching on tonight. I hate that I missed parts one and part two, but I was thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly blessed by your teaching tonight, and I just wanted you to know all the glory belongs to God. But he used you tonight mightily, and I just wanted to say
amen.
That.
Thank you, my sister. And you can go on the broadcast. You can go on the website, and you can look up any of the other ministries, and just let God continue to feed you those things that are necessary for life for us to participate in. Again, glad to have you here. Area code 817-919-1557. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? 817-919-1557.
Well, I'm always blessed. This is Sister Vicki Wright. I am always blessed when I get a chance to listen to you, the ministry. I have just a quick testimony about how God has put us in place so that his light can shine and that people can see that his glory in us. I have been in this rehabilitation, learn how to walk all over again. And every I get a chance to get with the therapist, I always pray, Lord, give us strength this day. Give me strength this day to continue this journey you have me on. Bless my legs, Lord. So the other day, she said she woke up at 6:30 in the morning, and she started praying, God, give her strength to work with the people that you called her to work with. And she said, I sound like Miss Vicki. So I said, no, you don't sound like Miss Vicki. You sound like God. That's what she wanted to do. And April blessed me so I almost started crying. I was praying for me and didn't know she was hearing it for herself as well.
Amen.
And I want to give that testimony and thank you, Steve. And you know I'll move to Chicago now. So thank you for
amen.
Yeah. I've been here 2 months now. Thank you for the word.
Amen.
It's not me God had a transfer. You know, I don't pack my bags and I've been on the back, my little red caboose been on the back of her train ever since 2013. So wherever the Lord has her to go, I'm right there with
her. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you and your faithfulness.
I just wanted to share that. Sometimes I'm not able to get you because we're on different times. But tonight, I said, no, I'm going to turn it on. I hope I get him.
Amen.
And I was able to, and I always love your teaching, and thank you.
Amen.
And God
thank
bless
you.
You.
Thank you.
Continue giving you the wisdom to share with us.
Amen. Amen. Well, that is what I'm here for, so thank you for being a part of the ministry over all these years, and amen. And then being a vessel to allow God to, he said he would bless you, so that you would be a blessing. So thank you for allowing him to do that, to plant the seed of his word in the lives of others. All right, area code 312-330-4024. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Area code 312-330-4024. Amen. Glad to have you on the call tonight also. Well, those are the people that stayed to the end. And again, I would like to remind you that if the Lord does lay it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, just go to the website, look for the donate page, and then be obedient to the Lord, because your offerings connect your heart to the word that was sown in your heart so that you can get maximum resolve out of that word that was sown tonight. So don't let these opportunities pass. Again, I'm not saying this just to get finances, because my God supplies my need even when people were disobedient, okay? That's not what this is for. This is so that we can continue to bring ministry into your life. That especially I know I'm going to try to make sure that I'm the word of God that I minister is not going to be a word that is just something that's convenient or something that sounds or tickles your ears. I am interested in fruit that remains, and that's your soul being connected to Christ at the highest level of all. So, again, thank you for joining us here at livedeliverance.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until next Monday at 9 o'clock, shalom.